Sean Bailey, a producer of Tron and president of production at Disney.
Joe Kaczynski, director.
Steven Lisberger, producer.
So let's start off with the inspiration for this new legacy with compared to the part the first one. So can you give us a brief explanation towards this new compared to the old one?
Well, why don't you take that first, Sean, the new to the old, that this is a standalone film?
Yeah, I mean, we wanted this to be a standalone movie that if you know and you're a fan of the original, you can come, and certainly there's a lot in there for you. But we also felt that, you know, people had to be able to come to this movie clean and be able to experience it. But certainly the inspiration in many, many ways. I think Steven is a visionary who was ahead of his time and who pushed the envelope from both a conceptual perspective and a design perspective and a technical execution perspective. And those were things that when Joe and I were lucky enough to come onto this movie, we took very much to heart. How do we push it today like those guys pushed it in 82?
Really quick, I'm very inspired the fact that the old one was my original one as well. I was still barely a baby, but looking at it now, I'm really inspired. But then also the fact that Daft Punk is related to that in terms of the costuming. Before I even knew about this new movie, Tron, I kept on looking at Daft Punk, and I'm like, gee, there's something similar to these two things.
Yeah.
And then I was so inspired that when I went to the first conference and I heard you guys talking, I just had to say something about it, and that's when I believe you said actually Daft Punk was inspired by the first movie. That totally touched me a lot because I'm a big fan of the first Tron.
Yeah, there's definitely a French connection there too, because Mobius, who's actually in town this weekend, he was very instrumental in the first film. He did a lot of design and costume work, and did a lot of storyboarding. And he made a big difference. So, and now Daft Punk has made a big difference.
Huge difference. With Daft Punk, how much of the actual score was recorded beforehand, before filming, and then if there was some, was it kind of shaping or helping form certain scenes or sequences? Because it was a great marriage of the visuals and the soundtrack.
They had done digital demos of all the tracks. A lot of them came in while we were shooting, but yeah, I did actually have a lot of the tracks, like the End of Line Club. I actually had those tracks on set that day, on big speakers blasting as we were shooting those scenes. So basically by the time I got to edit, cutting the film together, I basically had the entire score in a digital format, and was able to kind of cut the whole film to it and really connect the music and picture in a way that you just can't do on most films. And then once we locked, we went and re-recorded everything with a real orchestra in London. I'm really proud of how the score turned out.
That's great symmetry. I like how it played out.
Cool.
How much of an influence did you have on the viral aspect of the movie?
Well, we were all really involved in the viral because it needed to tie so strongly to the story we were telling in this film. So, we were involved in kind of all the aspects, particularly the story aspects. We had a great group of people that actually executed a lot of the events and stuff that's going on online. But we wanted to make sure it was cohesive with the story we were telling, and hopefully setting up things for people who are interested in it. They'll come into this movie from a more informed perspective, which is pretty exciting.
We loved it. I mean, for us, it was all... It's funny to me, people say, oh, well, it's a marketing thing. Yes, it is, if it helps increase awareness, but we also viewed it as also a story thing. If you follow the ARG, you know that Kevin Flynn disappeared in 1989. You know, we loved being able to tell little pieces of the story that you don't need when you come into the movie theater, but if you have them, it's pretty cool.
The fact that it's legacy, and the fact that it's from Kevin Flynn turning it to his son, that makes it more open and wide to more audience. I mean, to have the imagination, like, for example, I hear people when they're in the 80s, they got inspired to be, somewhat related to Tron, or at least be involved with Tron. So what do you guys think on the aspect that kids watch this movie, maybe sometime in the future there might be something greater of another Tron?
Well, it happens now in real time. You go to YouTube and people are already doing their own home versions of these light cycles 3 days later. I mean, can you imagine if, for my generation, where it took us months to, generate 5 seconds of CG, and now the stuff that the public does in almost real time comes right back at you.
It's pretty cool. We were in a meeting the other day, and I pulled up, Daft Punk. There's a track called D-Rezzed, and we have a piece out there to it, and in theater. And we pulled up, there's a piece on YouTube now called Re-Rezzed, which somebody just went with all the stuff. I don't know if you've seen it. It's really beautiful. And they took pieces of Daft Punk tracks from that they had from the score and Daft Punk tracks. They took pieces from our early VFX test, the trailers they had, and they cut this. It's a really fascinating back and forth. And we're really lucky with this movie that the fans have been our greatest champions. People talk about there's been a really big marketing effort for the movie, which there has and there will be. But there's been a multiple on it because the fans have been out evangelizing it, partly for love for the original, I think partly because of things like the ARG and what they've seen, the early looks at Joe's work.
I think one of the things that has happened that's a change is that in the past, American audiences really struggle sometimes with pictures that had two dimensions. Alice in Wonderland and Wizard of Oz, they really weren't that successful when they came out. And I think now we have a world which clearly we have divided into the real world and the electronic world, and you really don't have a choice anymore. You have to accept living in both worlds. So kids that, young people that grow up with that, or those that, have learned how to do it, it's sort of changed, how we look at some of this entertainment. And frankly, I think one of the reasons, besides Johnny Depp and Tim Burton, Alice in Wonderland was so successful this time, when in the past that story hasn't been accepted, is because we are a generation now that accepts two worlds, dimensional changes. And I think that's part of the energy behind Tron.
The fact that there's a lot of electronic and basically more like a hype, futuristic movie. I also speak for my outlet in Japan. The Japanese crowd is very up crowd in this new movie. So they're very technology in every way. So what are the thoughts on that? The fact that now Japan and out there in the Asian countries are going to be experiencing this, because this is more of a big talk out there as well. They're not even going to experience it yet until the 17th of next month, but it's a really big talk and it's really strong. So the fact that, it's already out here and we were blessed to see it first, what's the message for that, for the people out there in the Asia
country? I think the Asian market is has had a different mindset. One of my hobbies is bonsai trees, and when Asians see a bonsai, what it represents is the spirit of a big tree. They never say, oh, that's a cute little tree. All Americans say, oh, that's a cute little tree. They don't understand it's about the spirit. So I think there's something about Tron that I hope Asians appreciate, because it is really about what I'm saying, another dimension, which we've introduced into our lives through digital technology. And they've always been into the spirit of things.
Of course.
So I think that's a powerful connection.
I was there about 3 weeks ago. We took over the Tron Night footage. It was the first place we showed it, was the Tokyo International Film Festival.
I was there as well.
Oh, cool. Yeah. It was fun. It was really fun. Joe and I are flying back there a week from tomorrow. I couldn't be more excited that you can feel the enthusiasm and the lean forward. They really seem genuinely excited, receptive, and have been just an incredibly enthusiastic audience. It's gonna. I'm thrilled. I can't wait to. And I also, it was in my room in Tokyo, first time I'd ever been there 3 weeks ago. I went to my room, I was like, it looks like Tron out there.
It's really cool. Actually, it's really cool.
He's going to love it.
Joe, could you talk about, this is a 3D movie, and this is your first time Asian film. So the kind of two questions for you is, how much pressure, and how did you this is a 3D, so that's, it's a difference.
Right. I think any director feels pressure making a movie, regardless of what movie it is and what size it is. So I think it's a very natural thing. As terms of 3D, we conceived this as a 3D movie from the beginning, but 3D in terms of being an immersive experience. I like the idea of treating the screen as a window into another world, not something that things are continually flying out of at you. So hopefully you felt the same way after watching the movie last night. And, you know, we conceived it as a 3D movie 2 years before Avatar came out. We've been working on this movie for a long time, so it was always meant to be an opportunity to provide a glimpse into another world. And when things do come out of the screen, it's, you know, it hopefully has more dramatic impact. You're doing it at the right point where the story motivates it, but also because you're not doing it the whole film, when it does happen, it has that kind of visceral quality to it.
You know, there's a story where Billy Wilder couldn't figure out the third act of a screenplay, and he brought in all his heavy friends that were all great writers, and they couldn't crack it. And then the studio brought in some young writer who had never, you know, gotten a screenplay made, and he figured it out. And they said to Billy Wilder, "Don't you feel like a fool?" And Billy Wilder said, "No, of course he figured it out. He didn't know how hard it was." And it's a little bit, that's how I feel about Joe. You know, he didn't know how difficult this was. He thought all movies were like this, and it's just the way it is. It was crushingly difficult.
So you guys, he's a first-time director.
Now his next movie is going to be his third movie, because he shot this twice for the 3D.
Yeah. There you go.
So why him, and why you guys decided to make 3D?
Well, why him? If you saw the movie. So,
yeah.
You know.
That's right. Congratulations.
Sean has great instincts, and he found Joe.
We felt like to go, we wanted a visionary, we wanted a visionary behind the camera, and we felt like that Joe was going to be an important new visionary. We feel like a revolution is happening in filmmaking, and the revolution is going to be led by people like Joe. For us, it was a very natural choice. We recognized there was some risk to it, but we thought there was a lot more potential reward, which I think we got.
For Sean and Joe, you also had a more substantial proof of concept piece of work to look at before hiring Joe for the gig, right?
We did. That was part, I'm sure, from the studio perspective, they wanted to see. You know, Joe talked a lot of very aggressive philosophies of how to make this movie and technologies that hadn't really been done yet. And so certainly there was a little bit of, well, let's see what that looks like, I think. But another big piece of that was us saying to them, if you're going to make Tron, I don't know that Tron is a movie you can, you know, read a 100-page document and decide if you're going to go forward or not. Part of the assessment of Tron, in our opinion, would have to be, what's the world you're going to build? What's it look like? Is the movie screen going to look unlike anything I've ever seen before, just like it did in 1982 when Steven did something, I think, on screen that no one had done before? And so what we said to them is, we'd like to give you a set of deliverables. One will be the script, there'll be concept art, and there will be an example of all of these bleeding-edge technologies. And they were very supportive of that plan.
Last question. Tron 3?
We're going to let the audience decide.
Kind of playing off that real quick, because there are so many great homages and honoring the film so well with all these different Easter eggs peppered in there. Seeing the son of Ed Dillinger Murphy, you know, in there, that was a great moment and great casting for him, I think. Is that possibly a nemesis that's being prepared for Sam and prospective future Tron films here?
If, you know, if audiences decide they want to go back into the world of Tron, I think we've created a universe and created a situation where there's a lot of places we can latch on and create a new narrative. So,
yeah.
You know, we'll have to see.
Cool. Yeah, we did like the, you know, that was the Dillinger Easter egg for the folks.
That's a good moment.
Good.
Great, thank you.
Thanks.